The programme to encourage people to become organ donors is being put in place in all acute hospitals across the country. The Potential Donor Audit, or PDA, has been running on a pilot basis in 6 hospitals. It will be extended to 7 more this year before covering all hospitals next year. Its aim is to ensure that everyone who is in the final stages of life in intensive care units or emergency departments is offered the possibility to become an organ donor. We're joined now by the PDA's clinical lead, Dr. Alan Gaffney, who is a consultant anaesthesiologist at the intensive care unit of Beaumont Hospital in Dublin. Dr. Gaffney, you're very welcome. Thanks for coming in. When a loved one is in the final stages of their life, reaching the end, is it a difficult or a more easy time to have a conversation about organ donation?
Good morning, Audrey. I suppose this is Organ Donation Awareness Week, and I'd like to start by just acknowledging the unbelievable generosity of hundreds and hundreds of families in this country who have agreed to donate their loved ones' organs for the benefit of other people. This is something, so I work, as you say, in intensive care. So for the most part, most people leave intensive care alive. That's our aim. Our aim is to make people better. But sometimes that's just not possible. And we do end up speaking to a lot of families about the end of life of their loved one. And sometimes in very infrequent circumstances, really, that may include talking about organ donation. And the reason I say that it's infrequent is that you have to die in very specific circumstances to be an organ donor. Usually that's having suffered an irreversible, devastating brain injury. You're unconscious and you can't breathe on your own. So there are a number of patients who die in those circumstances where we approach the family about the possibility of organ donation. And as you mentioned in the beginning, what we want to do is make sure that anybody who had ever considered being an organ donor was actually offered that opportunity. So we feel it's our obligation to match the public's generosity with our professionalism and make sure that we offer that opportunity to everybody who it can be offered to.
And just to clarify, with the opt-out legislation in place, the person or their families, they still need to be asked, they still need to give consent?
Yes, so nothing changes from that point of view. If you look at international evidence, opt-out probably doesn't make a difference to organ donation rates. The things that make difference to organ donation rates are having people on the ground that know how to approach families in the right way with the right information, having organ donor nurse managers who can educate clinicians. It's really important that we as clinicians are educated in how to approach families and how to accept a decision from a family. If a family decides that it's the wrong thing to proceed with organ donation, then that's perfectly fine. What we want to do is offer those families the opportunity and make sure we do it in every single case.
Well, tell us what was learned from the pilot programme. How did that go?
So it went very well. The first thing with audit, and I'd like to acknowledge the National Office for Clinical Audit. This is an amazing organisation that's independent of the HSE, and they've given us a huge amount of expertise in how to go about auditing correctly. So what we learned from that is that in the vast majority of cases in these 6 ICUs where there is already an organ donor nurse manager, that the vast majority of patients and their families were approached about organ donation where that was appropriate. We also learned that Irish people are generous, probably not something that we're learning for the first time, but Irish people are very generous and agree to organ donation where that was a possibility. But of course, there were some what we would call missed opportunities. So these were a small number of cases where perhaps a family wasn't approached or they may not have been approached by the right people. And it's always important that we pick up on those. If we don't do audit, we won't know about these situations. And if we know that there's a family that maybe wasn't approached because of difficult circumstances, sometimes we assume that, you know, in the sort of deepest, darkest hour of someone having a loved one die in ICU, it's unfair or cruel to bring it up. Actually, what we need to do is realise that this is the patient's and the family's information, mm-hmm. and we need to bring it up. So we have had missed opportunities, not that many, but they're the things that help us to learn, and they're the things that help us to focus our educational initiatives to make sure that we cut down those episodes as much as possible. Because at the end of the day, we want to make sure in ICU and as clinicians in general within the service that we do what's right for every single patient, and we hold ourselves to a pretty high standard.
Yeah, so expansion is on the cards for this year and next year. I suppose it does make sense to have a programme that is standardised across the country's hospitals. Will that how it will be in practice?
That's the aim. So our aim is to appoint organ donor nurse managers to every ICU in the country. And by having those professionals bedded in the units, that they, with this information that they'll be able to access at any moment, will be able to tailor how they educate us as clinicians and offer the same opportunity to every patient, no matter what ICU they come into in the country. And eventually, we would hope with our emergency medicine colleagues that we'll be able to expand this into the emergency room again. But that will take a little bit of time.
Okay, well, thank you very much indeed for coming in to talk to us this morning. The clinical lead with the potential donor audit, consultant anaesthesiologist at Beaumont Hospital's intensive care unit, Dr. Alan Gaffney.